believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Alabama, became a drug dealer and pimp, and lost a leg in a bad drug deal. While serving 5 years in prison, he turned his life over to God in 1990. His autobiography is titled, Born a Bastard, Now Born Again. And today, he's the pastor of Mount Calvary Church of Jesus Christ in Northwest Detroit. His name, Pastor L. Calvert. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760, WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now here's Jack.
We're with Pastor L. Calvert. Pastor, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Jack, it's my pleasure to be with you today. I'm so honored to be here at WJR.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom?
Well, my mother passed when I was 11 years old. And the contributing factor to my capriciousness or to my waywardness was the fact that my mother did leave me at that age. And I found out that I was born out of wedlock via a stranger that approached me one day and said, did you see your daddy, Tom Johnson, when he was here from Detroit? Well, I knew that my daddy was in the coal mine, the Mulga coal mine that day, Reuben Hurd, who I thought was my dad. So that name sent me on a spiraling course. And now I realize it was a downward course because that necessitated in me coming to Detroit instead of going on to college as it was planned for me. I had an itch that I couldn't scratch and cure to find this Tom Johnson and to find out why he had never attended to me. I didn't know anything about him. And so that led me to Detroit, where I eventually fell into vices, which lasted, I think, over some 30-something years.
What did you learn from your mom in the first 11 years of your life?
Love. And when she left, I began to search for love in all of the wrong places. My mother and I, Ella Mae, we were like very close. She took me everywhere. She was my whole life. She was so much for me that she made the PTA meetings. I remember she made my, I was the May Day queen. You know, every year you have a May Day during the end of school year. And I remember she made my little knickers, my little satin knickers and my little cape and the outfit so that I would be presented king during the May Day, you know, as a child. I never forgot that. So she was very instrumental in guiding me the right way with a mother's love. And when she left suddenly, I remember one day she told me, Al, I woke up about 3 o'clock this morning and I almost died. Well, an 11-year-old child don't take that serious. And this was on a Sunday, I think, and that Tuesday she was dead, which was the darkest day of my whole life.
You moved to Detroit in June of 64, Al. Mm-hmm. You got a job at the Dodge main plant in Hamtramck. And you start a life of drugs and pimping. How did you start in that world?
My transportation was with a young man who worked in the plant with me. And one night he stopped on 12th Street. And I don't know if you remember, Jack, but 12th Street was the street during that time. And I was fascinated. Being a country boy out of Alabama, I was fascinated with the girls on the corner and the guys sitting in pretty cars. And I got on dusty clothes in the foundry, working at Dodge Main Hamtramck. And so he'd go upstairs to do something. I know now he went upstairs to buy some weed, marijuana. And he said, come go with me. So I went upstairs to with him, and he purchased whatever he was purchasing. And I saw this young lady who asked me, did I want a date? Well, I really didn't know what she was talking about. I said, well, sure. You know, she was a pretty girl. I'd like to date you. Well, we know it today as the same thing that the governor of New York is accused of. Well, I did that with her. And I saw her go downstairs and hand the money to a guy in a brand new Cadillac. And I was determined from that moment on that I would be on the other side of life, not giving women the money, but I would be on the side of life where the women would give the money to me. And I pursued that and, of course, became effective in it.
What do you say to some listener that says, I just want to experiment with drugs, Pastor. I want to be cool. Everybody tries it.
I started out with smoking a joint. Being a spiritual man today, I found out that it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. The contextual application to that is that everyone starts out with a little something, but that little becomes a lot, and it becomes uncontrollable. That is the works of the enemy that works against human nature. We were not born to be high or to use drugs. That's an enemy. And I would tell anybody, first of all, do not experiment with drugs. It's an automatic failure to using drugs. It's automatic, systematic. It's going to happen. You can't win. We have enough problems with the vicissitudes of life. Just life changes. Just ordinary things in life. We don't need to be high to deal with life. We really need the Lord.
We're talking to Pastor L. Calvert. When we come back, we'll ask him what advice he gives to a parent who has a child using drugs today. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
Welcome back. We're with Pastor L. Calvert, who for 20 years, his life consisted of using and dealing drugs, prostitution, and pimping. Pastor, what do you say to a listener tonight whose son, daughter, spouse is currently using drugs?
Well, Jack, as you know, anything that's not in control is out of control. And drugs is a substance that causes us to be very dysfunctional, to be out of control. I believe that some of our parents have lost control of their children. And so the children exert their energy in things that are not productive. And so they began to, and they see too much. The children see too much. They know too much. There's a scripture that says bad communication corrupts good manners. So a child can be a product of West Bloomfield, a Grosse Pointe. But if the child is exposed to bad communication via, it could be television, it could be the internet, or it could be their peer group, then the mannerism of that child is corrupt. Let's say the young man that committed violence at Virginia Tech. Somewhere in his life, his mannerism, his mind was corrupt enough to conduct a violent act among his own peers. Somewhere bad communication entered his spirit. So my advice to the parents is really to keep your children as much in order as you can. Now, there's another scripture that says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he gets old, he won't depart from it. Now, it's not that a child won't come into waywardness in his life, but God will bring the child back to a good way of life, as he did me. I was brought up in a Christian home. I just had this propensity to look beyond the course that God had set for me. I looked beyond that. So I fell into vices that led me, over a period of 20, 30 years that could have resulted in death. But thank God I'm alive to let the people know now to get a hold of your children. Monitor your children. Monitor their activity.
You go from Detroit to L.A. Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it all, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
The fancy cars, the beautiful women, all the money in the world, a beautiful palace. You lose a leg one day in October of 74.
Yeah.
And then you go to prison.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Let's digress just a little bit. I lose a leg. I fulfill a childhood dream. I always wanted to be a broadcaster, and I succeeded. I was on the air before I finished L.A. School of Broadcasting. And, I mean, this was everything to me because I've lost a limb. This was therapy. Radio was everything to me. And I was excelling really great in radio. And I go to work one day, and the station was closed. The IRS had closed the station. And instead of pursuing my career, I heard that voice that said, well, if this door is not open to you today, there's another door. You can go back to selling drugs. And oh my God, the worst mistake I made in my life. So now I get back into the drug culture, and I meet a man that lived in the hills, Baldwin Hills, California, up in the same area where Ike and Tina lived, and Ray Charles very famous people. And he had the nice house, the nice car. And of course, I saw all of this money. He had this phone with a briefcase in it. And so I was already exposed to the street life before I left Detroit. So I go to California, and I'm exposed again to the street life. And that led me to becoming a major drug dealer. I fell on a case that was dubbed as one of the largest cases in L.A. My co-defendant received 120 years plus two life sentences. But I would not go to court with them. I pleaded out on the case, received 10 years, and which I did 5 years, 8 months in federal prison.
Talk about your days, those 5.5 years in federal prison.
For the first year, consternation set in. I'm discombobulated where my mental faculties are not working correctly. I'm totally confused because I leave this lavish life I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but I could shop on Rodeo Drive, the richest street in the world. I could eat at Tavern on the Green in New York if I wanted to. I could go to the championship fights and live in the best suites in Caesars if I desired to. And here I am in a jail cell on one leg and without the luxuries that I was accustomed to. And for the first year, totally confused. And I decided to call my aunt, who had raised me properly, in Alabama. I was ashamed to call her for the first year, but I finally built up enough nerve to call her, and she led me to a scripture in the Bible. I did not find any reprieve from this scripture. It sounded good, and I knew that if my Aunt Mildred told me about this scripture, it had to be something to it. So I kept thumbing through the Bible, trying to find some solace or some soothing to comfort me because I'm totally about out of my mind in this prison. And I turned to Hebrews 12:8, which says, if ye be without chastisement, whereof some are partakers. Ye are bastards and not sons. And so the same word that hurt me all of my life when I found out I was born out of wedlock, and in Alabama you were dubbed as a bastard child, and that word hurt me all of my life. But when I saw that word in the Bible, it came back to me. And for the first time in my life, the Spirit of the living God spoke to me and let me know that I was not a bastard, that I was his son, that I was not in prison because he hated me, but I was there because he loved me and was keeping me out of danger, and I have not been the same.
Let me quote, "My prison days were the best days of my life." Let me go on. "It's paradoxical but true that in a lockup is where I was released. It was in prison where I became free. It was in a place of hopelessness where I found hope. It was in a place of sadness where I found joy. It was in a place full of hate where I found love."
Yes.
Explain that to us.
All of these virtues, mind you, are the characteristics of God. In my faith, it's Jesus Christ, my Savior. It was in this place. Well, how can I say this? It's in your worst place that God can give you your greatest blessing. Let's look at Moses. He was on the back side of the mountain where he saw a bush, which was an ordinary thing. But it was extraordinary that the bush was on fire and not consumed. And so I was in a fiery place, but not consumed, because Christ came into my life and gave me a peace that I don't understand today, that gave me a joy I cannot figure it out. And it was there that I learned to not only love myself, but to love everybody. And that's about as good as it gets. So when I say prison was the best days of my life, it's because God used the federal judge and an attorney, U.S. attorney, who had gone to school for years. He used them as tools to sit me down long enough just to save my soul. And that's love.
We're talking to Pastor Al Calvert, and I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Crisula.
We're talking to Pastor Al Calvert, the pastor of Mount Calvary Church of Jesus Christ. Al, what do you say to somebody who says, "The devil's got control of my life, and I don't know what to do"?
I would say to that person, there's a scripture in the Bible, and I am a living witness of this particular scripture that says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his trouble." Now, God will not deliver a person if a person has the will to remain with the devil. But there is a way out. And that way out, in my faith, is through Jesus Christ. I know who I called on, Jack. I know in whom I believe. If a person wants to be released, let me just say this. A habit is a habit. One is good, one is bad. I had a bad habit. Prostitutes, sending women to the streets, into clubs, dancing in Vegas, et cetera, et cetera. I had a bad habit. Dealing drugs, poisoning our community. I'm ashamed of it, Jack. Now, when I accepted Christ into my life, he put a spirit in me that gave me the power to practice good habits. So now, in my conscience, I know I was wrong, because I don't want anyone sending my sister, my daughter, or my mother to the streets. I don't want my daughter, who is a graduate of UCLA and Cal State Dominguez Hills, is pregnant as we speak with my first grandchild. I wouldn't want anybody to give my daughter drugs. And my grandchild is born a crack baby or a dysfunctional child or have a mental a challenge because of the drugs that I offered someone. So that's the difference between not having Christ in your life and having Christ in your life. I could never, ever go back to that way of capriciousness in my life because now the devil don't have the stronghold on me. The principle is Christ died for our sins. When I accepted him, I died to old Al. Christ was buried in a grave. I buried old Al. Christ rose from the dead. When I accepted him, he rose in me and renewed me from a dead life of dead works to now helping people not to go where I've gone.
Time after time, Pastor Calvert, throughout history, God uses the least likely of humans to be his spokespeople and to do his greatest acts. Why?
God has always taken the foolish thing of the world to confound the wise. He took Abraham, an idol worshiper, and made him the father of faith. He took Noah, who was a drunk, and used him to start a new a new generation. He took Elijah, who was suicidal, to become the great prophet. He took Paul, a killer of Christians, to become the great apostle. He took Moses, a murderer, to become a deliverer. He took David, a shepherd boy, and made him the greatest king, a man after God's own heart. He took Jesus, which the Bible says no good thing came out of Nazareth, but he took him to become the savior of the world. God took me, a little guy out of Alabama, made me a preacher to win countless of souls alive. He has always done that because God is glorified through taking a zero and making them a hero or a shero. God has always taken nothing and made something that he's glorified through that.
There's a saying, let go and let God. Surrendering to God is so hard for all of us. You know, our Father, not my will, but thine be done. We always tell him our will, forget his will.
Yeah.
How did you learn to surrender to his will?
I realized through my life of in the underworld that I was searching for love. Out of all the shopping and all of the buying the fancy cars off the showroom floor, going to the tailor shop, dressing up to go to the championship fights and trying to mingle in with all of the parties with the, I wound up in one of Don King parties, you know, and I think in Caesar somewhere up in Vegas, we're just having a good time. I found out that everything I was looking for in the world and worldly pleasure with women, sleeping around with several women at the same time and all the stuff, I found out that I was looking for love. So when I found it in Christ, when I realized that God did so love the world that he really did give his only begotten son, everything he had, the best he had to help me, then I was able to surrender to that virtue of God. This is what I've been looking for all of my life. I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to find it. Now I'm in a prison cell. I don't have a roll of quarters in my pocket, and now I got it for free. So how could you not surrender to that type of virtue once you find it?
When we had lunch recently, you made a statement that there's a difference between set free versus made free.
I'm so glad that we can allude to that because many convicts are set free. but they become a great part of the recidivism rate.
70%.
70%. But they are not made free. I'm incarcerated, but I'm free not on the outside. I'm free on the inside. My mind is free. My heart is free. My soul is free. I have a peace and a joy and a love that I never had on the outside with the women and with the all the stuff at the parties and around the entertainers. I never was free. The scripture that says he who the Son makes free is free indeed. And I find that to be so true, that when Christ frees you on, see, a lot of people are dressed up, Jack, but on the inside, they're messed up. I was dressed up, tailored to the bone, if I may use that vernacular. Dressed up, but messed up. And so that's the difference between being set free and made free.
Five of the hardest words for most of us to utter. Some of us can never utter these words. Wives will say, many husbands have never, to say, I'm wrong and I'm sorry.
Hmm.
Why so hard?
It's hard because people are bound into, you see, your attitude toward life has a lot to do with your altitude. The way up in the Christian life, the life of Christ, is down. So to humble yourself in the sight of God for a true believer is not hard. To say, I'm sorry, to bless those that curse you, to pray for those that despitefully use you. Okay, here it is. Judas, in the Garden of Gethsemane, runs up to Christ and kisses him to have him killed. Christ called him friend. I know you're kissing me to have me killed, but guess what, Judas? I still love you. It's a virtue and a characteristic of God that I cannot explain, but it becomes easier through the help of the Lord to say, I'm sorry, forgive me, even when you're right.
We're talking to Pastor Al Calvert. When we come back, we'll ask him about his autobiography, Born a Bastard, Now Born Again. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything is Possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with the author of Born a Bastard, Now Born Again, Pastor Al Calvert. Pastor, what's the basic message of your book, and why that title?
Well, let me allude to the latter first. The title came about because I found out I was born out of wedlock, and the word bastard hurt me all of my life, but I never told anyone how the word affected me. It really would cut me whenever I would hear it. And so the same word that hurt me beginning at 11 years old was the same word that cleansed me in prison years later when I was about 40 years old, when I saw the word in the Bible. And I said, well, if this word is in the Bible, and God spoke to me through that passage of scripture in Hebrews 12:8 in the Bible, I found out that the bastard child wasn't so bad after all, mind you, excuse me. And I didn't have to be a bastard child. I could become God's son. And he made me that. And that was the contributing factor to the title of the book, because I was born a bastard, felt bad all of my life about it. But now I'm born again, and I'm happy about that.
How can we learn more about you?
Well, the book can be bought. I can be contacted on my website at alcalvertministries.org, or a person can call me at my office. I'm there at 9 Mile and Providence Drive in the Village Office Center building. My number there is 248-424-8424. That's 248-424-8424. I'm also on Amazon.com. Just look up Born a Bastard. Now, Born Again.
Speaking of books, what's the basic message of the Bible? And how does one begin to read the Bible, Pastor?
I would encourage a new beginner. You read the Proverbs for wisdom. Solomon was the wisest man on planet Earth. God made that so. I would read the Psalms to learn how to pray. The Proverbs will teach you how to live. The Psalms will teach you how to pray. I will begin in those two areas of the Bible. And of course, Hebrews 10:7 says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." You have to look for Christ all through the Bible to get any revelation out of the Bible, because he's there on every page.
You listen to the news, anything is possible, but it can be very, very defeating. Young kids killing each other.
Yes.
Politicians, Spitzer, Kwame.
Yeah.
On and on and on and on.
Yeah.
Talk about power corrupting.
Power is corrupting because it's a false power. There's only one power, and that power is God. There's a power in God's spirit that won't allow you to do certain things. Now, I don't speak as anybody's judge, because I'm not a perfect man, but there is a power in me that keeps me striving toward perfection, which is in Christ. Power corrupts because people began to, it's like a guy in the Bible. I was just reading that this morning, and I think it's Luke 12:16. This guy, he said, "Well, I'll build me some bigger barns, and I'll tear down the barns I have, and I'll build me some bigger barns, and I'll store up all kind of stuff in my barns, and I'll say to myself, I got big barns, and I'll eat, drink, and be merry." And God, so obviously the man had power because he had a lot of barns, a lot of stuff. But God called the man a fool, because you're storing up stuff for yourself and not thinking about helping others. When we acquire power and substances and prosperity in life, it is not, let me just say this, when God gives to us, we can only give him back what he's already given. So if God gives you power, you give it back to God and help people with it. You don't hoard it up to, for yourself, because that's, you remember the Mission Impossible movie?
Yes.
Where they would get the instructions, and after that the tape would like just blow up or disintegrate itself? That happens to people when they acquire power for themselves. It's self-explosive. They are going to fail.
What do you say to a listener tonight who's living a life of prostitution?
I would say there is hope for you. I would encourage any young lady that's even thinking about prostitution, the clubs, and it's so tempting. You know, it's easier said than done, because when you're in a club and you're dancing, and men are just throwing money at you, and they offer you hundreds of dollars to date them or turn a trick with them, as we call it in my day. But what I would say to them, what good would it profit you if you gain all of this money and one day you got to face God and there's a decision as to whether you're going to lose your soul? We can have all the money in the world, Jack. A prostitute can, Spitzer was paying $5,000 a pop to this young girl. But one day she has to face God Not President Bush, not the Pope, not the pastor, but an almighty, merciful, just, loving God. And the scripture says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And you don't want to face God being a prostitute or a drug dealer when there's a chance for you to turn your life around like I did through Jesus Christ.
Never seen a Brinks truck in a funeral procession, Pastor.
It's not going to happen. I watched Rosa Parks, a hearse, as it went down 7 Mile Road, and as virtuous a woman as she was, there was not a Brinks truck behind the hearse.
Last question: what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
Go to school. You might not ever become a rap star. You might not ever get the Beyonce shake. But it's one thing you can do. You can go to school. And you must honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long up on the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. And that's my encouragement to young people. Stay in church, because the worst pain you can have is to spend your life on drugs and partying, going nowhere.
Pastor Calvert, you are a shining example of, with God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
Thanks for coming. Our guest next Sunday will be another amazing story, Mike Tirico. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything truly is possible. Spohane.